members of the panel, peace activists, and CAIA conference participants. I appear before you today in determination to present to you the repression of Solidarity of Palestinian Human Rights at the University of Western Ontario. Before I even start discussing ACBHR's experience at UWO and the organized institutional and non-institutional bullying and repression has experienced, I find the words of DeCosmos to provide a coherent summary of our experience at the university. Amor DeCosmos was the founder of the British colonists on British Columbia back in the beginning of the 21st century. And he replied to any attempts to repress freedom of speech at his newspaper and stated, "Attempts to stop the freedom of speech have only resulted in enlarging the area of freedom. It is vain, puffed up, corrupt, tyrannical, short-witted, conceited mummies and numbskulls that fear the press and strive to gag it." Indeed, since the foundation of ACBHR-UWO 4 years ago, by peace and human rights activists who were compelled to raise awareness about Palestinian human rights on campus, there were numerous abhorrent attempts to limit freedom of speech. In the next 10 minutes, I will outline such attempts made by campus organizations and by the University Students' Council, as well as community members and organizations. The University Students' Council, or the USC, whose mandate is to enhance the educational experience of the students at the university and to provide what is called the freedom of expression and creativity on campus, was apparently unable to accommodate ACBHR into its noble and democratic mandate. Instead, it was determined to use every possible chance to make it harder for us to function as a ratified organization and fulfill our club's mandate. To expand on this point specifically, I can't help but put forth the obstacles that were intentionally placed to further disrupt ACBHR's advocacy and awareness plans. For example, back in March 2005, we were asked by the USC, or the University Students' Council, to appear before the club's policy committee, which is the CPC, and explain why did our constitution include the words imperialism and colonialism. You should listen to this. And it was claimed that no other club on campus had any political terms in their constitution. Yes. Anyhow, we appeared before the committee. Basically, it was a committee of uneducated students about the Palestinian-Israeli conflict specifically. And we went to the meeting and attempted to give him a history lecture about the history of the conflict in Palestine and gave him definitions about colonialism and imperialism ideology. It was pathetic. We were relieved that they had accepted the constitution, but only to discover much later that the NDP's constitution is anything but apolitical. So, their constitution starts by the following. Whereas the oppression of capitalist hegemony subverts democracy by formalization, fractures community, undermines individual freedom, perpetuates social and economic injustice in the pursuit of profit, continues, the students of the University of Western Ontario and all people have an inherent right to organize and resist oppression. Indeed, I am left to wonder of how hard of a task it could have been for the NDPs to explain the phrase oppression of capitalist hegemony to what we ACBHR exec call the Clueless People Committee, or the CPC. Matters developed even further as the United Nations for Solidarity with the Palestinian People approached on November 29th. So we decided we wanted to have an event on that day in the UCC atrium, or the University Community Center of the university. As planned, on that day, which is Palestine Day for short, we erected a mock wall of the real apartheid wall after seeking approval from the USC. Our mock apartheid wall was put up after many weeks of approval processes. Before it was erected, it was approved by the Students' Council and its organs. After it was erected, it was again approved by the Students' Council and its organs, the London Hate Police Crime Division, and University Equity Services. However, a complaint was launched by the university students, the Israeli Action Committee, the IAC, and Hillel. They claimed The ACPHR was creating, I quote, a tense and poisoned atmosphere. It was claimed that ACPHR was promoting hatred against a particular group of students, thus allegedly creating an unsafe, charged environment in the university. People went crying to President Davenport. Oh, President, I don't feel safe on campus, you know? Please, give me a break. Anyhow, at 6:30 a.m. on the morning of November 29th, the day we had erected the mock wall, the IAC, the Israeli Action Committee, sent out an inflammatory email to their membership regarding ACPHR's event coming up on that day. During the event, the IAC proceeded to set up a table outside the UCC to hand out flyers and further disrupt the day, and brought non-UWO members of their community, rabbis, parents, etc., to instigate and participate in attacks and disrespectfully agitate and intimidate the students at the ACPHR display. President Paul Davenport attended the event and displayed no objections whatsoever to the mock wall or any of the materials presented by ACPHR. In addition, the USC released a statement after the event and stated that the event had met the mandate of ACPHR and was in keeping with the event description provided by ACPHR in their request to hold an event. However, ACPHR was surprised to know that the CPC, of which Noah Farber, a founding member of the IAC and a voting member of the CPC, was meeting due to a complaint that was, as I said before, launched by Israeli students and organizations on campus. We were not even allowed to respond or to defend ourselves. We didn't know what the complaint was, and we didn't hear a summary of anything. We knew 24 hours later that we were banned from using student council facilities for 2 years. We asked the ombudsperson to write up a report on that matter, and the ombudsperson recommended that the student council overturn the decision, and indeed it did. However, the complaint was relaunched again the consecutive year. As a result, ACPHR was sanctioned for 1 year. At almost every event we held, we experienced constant and organized discrimination by individuals and groups whose expressed goals are to disrupt ACPHR's events. Members of the IAC and Hillel constantly attended ACPHR's events. Indeed, they were our most loyal members. I mean, they were there at each and every event we had. Of course, we as ACPHR members, we welcomed everyone who was willing to advocate themselves about the conflict, and we also encouraged constructive debates. Needless to say, they only came to harass us and create some havoc at our events. There was a deeply discomforting occasion when the IAC illegally distributed inflammatory flyers on campus. You should listen to this. One side of the flyer was titled Understanding the Conflict, and it stated, I quote, out of 28 armed conflicts today, 25 involve Muslim forces against a non-Muslim enemy. The flyer continued by asking moderate Muslims to reclaim Islam. Of course, nothing was done, and it was just passed by, even though we vocally complained to the USC. The IAC and Hillel were constantly placing their student leaders and members in the University Student Council, as well as other decision-making bodies of the university. For example, they ran for the presidential election of the Student Council, as well as other positions at the Board of Directors. I'm not going to have time to discuss that now, but our website will be up and running soon, and then we'll have more information about that on the website, and you can update yourself on it. What happened was that in one of the elections, Noah Farber, who was part of the CPC and a voting member of it, declined to declare a conflict of interest and did not refrain from voting on ACPHR-related matters. And when he was a candidate of VP Finance, we sent an email to counselors asking them to make informed decisions and not put up a candidate who is clearly an anti-Palestinian human rights activist and does not acknowledge international law. We were de-ratified as a result. Another reason why they claim that is a reason for us to be de-ratified is the anti-hate vigil. So, we were called and invited by the USC to attend an anti-hate vigil, a USC-hosted event, and in which we would be able to give a peaceful speech against hatred. Anyhow, I attended the preparatory meeting, the anti-hate vigil, alongside student representatives from other clubs on campus, one of whom was Hillel. A couple of days later, and after the meeting, ACBHR received an email from the ombudsperson asking students to give a life-assuring speech. This was an outrageous, clear, and direct accusation of ACBHR's goals and mandate. After giving a tremendously peaceful, powerful, and life-assuring speech, ACBHR came to know that another complaint was yet submitted against his participation in the hate vigil, and that we had violated our earlier sanction. They invite us to hold in to speak at their property, and then they de-ratify us for it. Double jeopardy. There was this issue of the confidentiality agreement. They wanted us to sign a confidentiality agreement to be able to see the complaints that were submitted against us. We refused. What I can say is that the USC has set a precedence of uncooperation. We weren't willing to sign a confidentiality agreement and not be able to show these complaints to our lawyers, to our membership, and to our legal advisors. So as a result, we weren't able to see the complaints, we weren't able to defend ourselves, and we were de-ratified. I can sum this by saying that my experience as an executive ACBHR in the past 3 years proved to me of how critical our job is as peace activists to raise awareness amongst the student body on campus. The de-ratification didn't stop us from doing what we intended to do with the USC-approved club, and nothing will ever do. ACBHR is hoping to hold an event on November 29th of this year, commemorating the UN Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people. It will be co-sponsored, hopefully, by other members and clubs of the university. Indeed, as DeCosmos stated, attempts to stop freedom of speech on campus have only resulted in enlarging the area of freedom. The implications of our de-ratification have only resulted in expanding the external and internal support, as well as strengthening our student base and alliance formation. They fear us. Yes, they do. Those puffed up, tyrannical, shirt-witted, conceited mummies and numbskulls fear us. And this is why they tried to gag us. Being present amongst you here, I believe, is more than enough to prove to you that they haven't succeeded. Lastly, I'm looking forward to take this conference as an opportunity for us to learn about each other's experiences and to strengthen the ties between various activist organizations and individuals. Israeli advocacy on Canadian campuses will never stop, and neither will we. Thank you.